Blog Talk Radio.
That I had so early to give it to me, but it seems that I had Jesus gave it to me. The hope is gone.
Because it's already broken.
as good as people think I am. And to be honest, my strength is garden. Only a few will understand. But I'm just trying to learn to never let me die. But now I'm just doing the promises. And just so you know, I'm not crawling over if you ain't got a hole in my head.
Wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully I serve the Lord. would say to me, he wants to be my number one. He died to set me free, so the battle has been won.
Didn't Minds. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for your servant that you're about to use for your glory, to edify your body and glorify your name and terrify the enemy. We pray, Father God, now that you would bless her to release all that you have given her into the hearts of minds of your people, that we might hear, receive, and activate in our daily walk. Father, we ask you to bless her to just listen and hear your word, oh God. And God, that she would take her time as she release your word, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, touch the hearts today all over the world. And your word bring change today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Minister Badman, and let the Lord use you. I think that's the last name. Glory to God. Come on in.
Amen. You made me smile, Apostle. Amen. Yes. I thank God. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Good morning and good afternoon to everyone.
So come on in. Good. I'm going on mute. I'm working, but I'm monitoring the computer. So I'm out here doing some work,
perfect.
But I'm monitoring you, okay? Go ahead.
Perfect. Amen. I just want to thank God for everything, you know, for all that he has done in each and every one of our lives. You know, I just thank God and give God the glory for getting me through one of my exams yesterday. I have another one coming up on Monday, so a lot of studying just trying to make sure I'm able to retain and keep this information going that the Lord has given me. Father God, I just thank you again for all that you have done. I give you glory, honor, and praise. Father God, I ask you today to just let there be none of me and all of you as I release this word. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. The word that God gave for me today was the hidden thorn within. The hidden thorn within. When I received this topic, I was speaking with a friend of mine, and we were just discussing the word of God and just being grateful for the knowledge that he has given to us and just discussing about the opening of our eyes and how God constantly opens our eyes each and every single day, and that how we should just remain in humbleness to him. You know, she said, I received a splinter. She was telling me her story that, you know, just kept, you know, it kept hurting her, and she kept asking her daughter to get it out. And, you know, every time they try, they can't find it. But she herself can feel the thorn. She could feel it, the prickle. It's there. So she had to dig until finally it took it out. And she said it was so small that no matter what happened, no matter what, when she took it out, it would never be found by anyone. But the fact is, she was able to feel it. So clearly she knew that it was there. And as clear as day, I heard in my spirit, because that's all that day, the day before, I've been praying. I said, God, you need to give me a word. What am I supposed to preach on? And I was just waiting. So God put this young lady on my spirit, and, you know, I didn't move that night to call. And the next morning I woke up, and I'm like, okay, she still have, this was Thursday. You know, I was like, okay, I need to give her a call, but Lord, I have so much I have to do on my desk. Let me just do this. And I wasn't being obedient. So she ended up calling me, and she's like, Andera, you've been on my spirit. I said, you have as well. So we, of course, encouraged each other and, you know, prayed. And in that moment, God said, the hidden thorn within. So I said, Father God, thank you for this word and also to forgive me because you had a word for me, but I wouldn't have received it had you not also touched her. So we have to make sure that we are also moving in obedience when God is telling us to do something. Many of us at this moment, we walk around with hidden thorns deeply embedded inside of us, things that keep us from moving forward, things that are there to humble us, things that are there that cannot be seen by the physical human eyes, but we can feel it within our spirit. And, you know, many times we ask God to help us. What is there? What is there? There's something on the underline of our souls that creates hurt, that creates disbelief, that creates untrust, you know? But at the same time, we know that God allows certain things to happen to keep us in a humble place. We know God keeps certain things. So one of the things that we need to pray is for God to take full control of the Holy Spirit to take over, to help us to remain humble. And if these pricklings that is in our life, that is so embedded deep in our souls, in that place where we have buried it, that we can't even see it on the physical outskirts, we have to ask God to be the one to dig it out, to get it up, to help us to bring it to the surface so we can deal with it, so it doesn't hinder us from our walk with Christ, that it doesn't hinder us from fellowshipping with others and stopping the glory of God from going forth. Thorn in the Bible symbolizes sin, sorrow, hardship, and pain is what we feel as a result of thorns. When that thorn is deep down, you know, you think about it, like, why is my life not going in the way it's supposed to? There's something blocking me from reaching where God wants me to reach. There's something stopping me. But at the same time, we know the Bible speaks about thorn in the eye, which I will cover, and, you know, thorn of the flesh. You know, and no matter what it is, we always need God to be the one to bring it to the surface, to understand why it's there. So let's turn first to 2 Corinthians 12, thank you, Lord, chapter 5 through 9. You know, this is the Apostle Paul, and in the earlier verse in chapter 12, you know, in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the vision and revelation God showed him about being caught up in the third heaven, you know, to paradise. And it's beautiful, and he's experiencing this. So verses 5 says that the experience is worth boasting about. This experience is worth boasting about, but I am not going to do it. I will boast only about my weakness. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because it would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. You know, when I first read these scriptures, I went over and over in it. And, you know, many times, you know, we do stuff and we want to take credit for what God is doing in our life. And the Apostle Paul is saying he's not going to do that. And he came to the understanding that, you know, his weakness is where he becomes strong. You know, so this thorn that is inside of him, this thing that is inside of him, is what is keeping him humble and grateful for all that God is doing. In verses 8, he says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of God can work through me. So many times there's something so, again, deeply embedded in us. We don't know what it is. I know for me, and I'm just going to speak about myself, one of my things that I guess keeps me humble you know, is my eye. You know, I've prayed so many times and I ask God to help with the cataract, and I know God is doing what God can do because I can see out of it the pressure, all that stuff is going out. But there's times I know the cataract that is in my eye, and I would laugh and I'd be like, God, why is it here? I say, you know what, maybe if it wasn't here, I wouldn't be as humble as I am. And I remember saying, God, I thank you for whatever it is that transpired with this eye, because it keeps me on a humble path. And if it's this is the way that you intend me to be, Father God, I will embrace it. Help me to continue embrace it. And that is what Apostle Paul is saying, that he's prayed to God 3 times. We've come to God many times about things that are not, you know, 100% right within us, within our bodies, and we know it's stopping us. But Apostle Paul is saying, I will speak and I will boast of that weakness, because wherever there is weakness, God is there. God is saying that my grace is all you need. My power works best within your weakness. So as we have these things that is deep down inside of us, and we're asking God to root it out, if it's not being rooted and it's been years and years and years, it's good to sit and think and speak and ask God, why was it placed there? Why is it so deeply in me? If it's there, Lord, I ask you to be the one to manage it so that I remain in your grace. I remain under your power. Because of this weakness that is in me, Lord, you will use me to help others around. You will use me to encourage others, and you will use me to show that I can still serve you. I can still go forth and do what you are calling me to do, even with there a thorn that is deep and hidden within me. Many times, and I know for myself, there's things that I am still working out. We are all working out things in our life where we have, like Apostle said many times, we have not arrived. We have to remain humble before God. But there's many things deeply embedded inside of our spirits, inside of our hearts, inside of our minds, that we cannot even surface it. I know there's things deep inside that I really can't fathom what it is, because I'm not sure, but I can feel that it's there. And I said, God, whatever it is, I ask you, if it is not of you, and if it's something that will bring me away from you, to manage it, to keep it there so that I can always remember that it's you who have brought me where I'm at. It's you who continue to get me where I'm going, to keep me forward, to keep me strong in you, to go for it. It is you that I need to depend on to make sure that this thorn that is hidden, that we cannot see, but we can feel it's there, does not surface. It's there for a reason. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. It was placed there for a reason, and I can know now both of it. I can talk of it. This weakness, he never specified a weakness, but this weakness, whatever it is, this thing that nugs at you, that you could feel it, that keeps you under the submission of God, that allows you to be humble before him and say, God, I know that redden is trying to come forth, but God, I need your power. That's where we know that it's only God that can help us. It's only God that can heal us. It is only God that can manage what is deep and hidden within. But we have to understand to allow God to come in to take care of it. Because the more we dig, we become aggravated, we become frustrated when we can't figure out what is happening in our life, in our own personal walk with God. It's time we just say, God, take full control. I cannot walk this walk on my own. We cannot do what God is calling us to do on self-knowledge. We cannot do it just by reading. We cannot do it because we're in school. We cannot do it because we're going to church every day, every Sunday. We can only do it when God takes full control, and he is the one being the supreme over our life, over our walk. He is the headmaster that is leading us and teaching us on the way to go and what is to do, what we are supposed to do. So we have to continue to stay humble before God and say, whatever it is, Lord, whatever it is that I'm going through, Lord, whatever it is, dear Lord, that I need you to extract, to remove, dear Lord, remove it. But Father God, for that deep embedded one that's been there all my life that I can't even touch, I can't even reach, but I can feel it in my body, I feel it in my spirit, Lord, I need you to be the one to go in and manage it. I need you to be the one to go in and remove it. Whatever your choice and your doing is, Father God, I give you glory for it. And God will do just that. As the Apostle Paul says, my grace, the Lord says, is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. Let's continue. Let's turn to Numbers 33, and I will read from the Bible. It's verses 50 to 56. Numbers 33, and I'm reading from the NLT. 50 to 56. It says, while they were camped near the Jordan River on the plains of Moab, opposite Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you cross the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, you must drive out all the people living there. You must destroy all their carved and molten images and demolish all their pagan shrines. Take possession of the land and settle in it, because I have given it to you to occupy. Verse 54 says, you must distribute the land among the clans by sacred lot and in proportion to their size. A large portion of the land will be allotted to each of the large clan, and a small portion will be allotted to each of the smaller clan. The decision of the sacred lot is final. In this way, the portions of the land will be divided amongst your ancestral tribe. But if you fail to drive out the people who live in the land, those who remain will be like splinters in your eyes and thorns in your side. They will harass you in the land where you live, and I will do to you what I have planned to do to them. You know, after I read this verse, my mind started spinning, and I started thinking of everything, you know, personal life, you know, where God has instructed us to do something, and we don't fully do it the way he tells us to do it. And before you know it, the repercussion and what we've been trying to get rid of just keep coming. It just keeps coming. Certain things, even things that we're not thinking of, it just arise out of nowhere. And when we really go back to the rooted part of why these things occur in our life, it's because we didn't follow the instruction. We were disobedient, and therefore it came back with a repercussion. When God told them, if you fail to drive out the people who are living in the land, those who remain will be a splinter in your eyes and a thorn to your side. They will harass you in the land and where you live, and I will do to you what I plan to do to them. You know, it brought me back to where King Saul, you know, God gave him an explicit instruction. And I'm like, God, how does King Saul have to do with a thorn and, you know, hidden? But the point is, you know, God gave him a detailed instruction, and he told him to kill everyone, to kill every animal, everything, destroy it. But King Saul decided to move on his own accord and to do it the way he wanted to do it, his heart, the way he wanted it in his heart, not the way God instructed us. Everything that we have within us, everything that we have that God has spoken upon us, there's a reason and there's a purpose. So with King Saul not doing what he did, you know, what happened? This same king became a thorn. It became a splinter. All the animals that he took, everything that he took, When the Lord told him not to, to destroy it all, became his own sword, became his a splinter and a thorn in his side. And everything was lost because he did not follow in obedience. He did not follow what the Lord said. So therefore, he had to live with this thorn. He had to live with this pain of not being anointed the way God wanted him, not being the king of where God, you know, chose David to continue on, you know, in the kingship. And Saul lost everything to the point that this thorn was such a burn to know that he lost the favor of the Lord, you know, to know that everything was taken because he didn't follow this same, because he didn't kill that king. He wasn't obedient. It's not the king, it's the obedience. It's not the individual. It's the obedience. God said for you to do something. So we have to go for it and do it. Like for me, when he said, call your friend, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to call. I didn't. That's a form of disobedience, as small as it may look. It could have been a problem. If God didn't touch this woman to call me, I wouldn't have received the message. I would still be here. God, what is it that you want me to speak about? But King Saul, knowing that David was his replacement, had to live with David. You know, so it's not a thorn in a sense of something, but it's a thorn knowing that you were replaced. You were replaced because of your disobedience. So that's where he had to live with that, to the point that he wanted to kill David. He couldn't stand up the rise and the fame and the favor that David was getting from God, that the people were looking onto him, that he tried so hard to kill King David. But God's favor was with King David, and we know what happened to Saul. He ended up committing suicide and killing his own life. He lost everything. So as God is instructing us, let's always remain obedient, so that the things that he tells us not to do don't come back upon us. How many times God says to us, don't go in a place. Don't become friends. Don't fellowship. Don't do certain things. And we do it, and it falls back on us. The repercussion hits us. My story alone of, you know, me, where I'm at, I was doing a calculation the other day, and, you know, I reflect a lot on my life. Every single day I reflect, and I thank God for what he has done. There's times I'm sleeping, going to sleep, or waking up, and I'm just praying and thanking God, and I feel like I'm in a trance. But I thank God for many things that he has done and for allowing me to be obedient. My life 6 months ago, you know, almost a year ago, you know, I left my previous church. But 6 months after leaving that church, my life took a full spin. I got married. I got my own apartment, my own house for me and my daughter that we're in. You know, just because I made a move, because I listened and I was obedient, that whatever was in me, whatever pricklings were upon me that kept stopping my blessing, that thorn that was there where I'm working, I'm paying my tithes, I'm doing everything, but to every time I'm done, I get a paycheck twice a month. To every time I'm done, I have no money left. I have nothing. I'm like, God, where is my money going? Where is this going? Where is all this? It was a thorn. It was hurting me. It was hurting my daughter. I was struggling to pay her tuition. I was struggling to do this. All these things. But when God spoke, that pain was lifted. When God spoke, I was obedient in that pain. And all of a sudden, I started seeing flourishment. Things started to flourish. I was able to manage. I'm managing because God is the one managing me. I'm managing because I'm now at a place where God speaks and I listen. Even when I don't quite move right when he says, he brings it clearly to my understanding. You didn't listen, and I ask for forgiveness. And I said, open me more up, dear Lord, so that I can, everything that is within me can be yours, that you can fully take control and use me. We don't want that God says to do something and we fail to do it. Because he says, when you fail to do what I'm asking you to do, that very thing that I'm asking you to do will come back and bite you. That very thing that I'm asking you to do will come back and be a sore in your eyes, a thorn in your eyes, a thorn in your side. That very thing that I'm telling you to let go of and get rid of and stop doing will come back and be a downfall upon you. That very thing will come and consume you and take over you. You will not grow. That very thing needs to go. Whatever it is, we know we're asking God to help us out of certain situation, but God has already given us the answer. He has already instructed us to make moves. He's already instructed us to let go. He's already instructed us to close the doors, create boundary lines. You know, in my church service, for the whole month of April, we were studying bonds and boundaries. And it was so powerful because it was bond and boundaries so that we don't put ourselves in bondage. That very thing that God is saying to let go will put you right there in bondage. It will become that piercing thorn. That piercing thorn. But at that point, we know how a thorn works.
when we get prickled or splintered and something goes into our flesh, if we don't dig it out, if we don't allow it to come to the surface, it will not surface. It will sink and sink. When a piece of glass gets into your skin and you don't immediately go in and try to take it out, it sinks deeper in until it finds a settling place. At that point, we just keep praying, God, help me to find this splinter. Lord, it hurts. You know, when we're digging and digging and digging, and finally it surfaces. But in all things that we go through and experience that is hurting our lives, that is stopping us from walking the life that God wants us to walk, that is keeping our thoughts impure, that is keeping our hearts, you know, hardened, you know, it is only God in his grace that will help to bring it forth. It is only God and the Holy Spirit that will be able to manage it, that we're able to stand and progress and continue to grow in his word, continue to be who he has called us to be, continue to allow him to open our eyes to the next avenue, the next chapter. Many of us, we have not really fully received what it is that God wants, but we have to just keep doing, keep doing, keep building. Keep building, and one day everything will become clear. Amen? Amen. Let's turn to Luke chapter 37, and I will read from the Bible. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 42. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to go down to 37 and 42, and we're reading from the NLT. I'm reading from the NLT. You know, it says here, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Verses 39 said, then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into the ditch? You are not greater than students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like a teacher. And 41 says, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think or say, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. For first get rid of the log in your own eyes, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. You know, when I received this scripture and I went quickly to find it and I read it and I was like, wow, about judgment, not to judge, don't judge. And, you know, many times, you know, we are here and we sit here and we judge. And I said, God, how is it that, you know, we always want to be helpers to people, but we have to help ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to take the logs. We have to take the set out of our situation before we could go pointing our fingers. That's what the word is saying. Many times we correct each other, but we correct each other with judgment. If we're going to correct and help each other to grow, we grow together as one. We correct out of love. We correct with love, not with judgment. When Jesus Christ said, you know, can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Won't they both fall into a ditch? When we see so many people, and we've been there, I've been there, and I see someone and I'm like, oh my God, you know, this person is doing this, this person is doing that. You know, God says, then what are you doing? Are you not doing the same, or are you not doing something similar? Excuse me. You know, when I started walking for Christ wholly, and making a decision to serve him completely, my friends, you know, and I shared this so many times, I completely went cold turkey because God said to me at that moment, do not drink. And, you know, I even have some of my Christian friends who said, girl, I still drink. You know, the Bible says you're supposed to drink. The Bible says you're supposed to this. And I have learned throughout the years to not be judgmental. Because I'm like, you know, if we're men and women of God, if we're servants of God, we're not supposed to put alcohol to our lips. Because how is God using us in that moment? And God says, everyone is called to a different walk. And my friends always say, Andera, you know, we're coming over, we're hanging out, but I'm going to have a drink. We're going to the restaurant, I'm having a drink. And they will always have to announce what they're going to do. And I would say, girlie, you know, I'm not judging you. I'm not here to judge. Who am I to judge you? I don't drink, and I always tell them my story. I don't drink anymore. I don't put liquor to my lips because God has taken it away from me. He told me I am not supposed to. Everyone has their own relationship with God. None of us know our walk with God. It's an intimate walk. It's a personal walk. But what we try to do is share. In my eyes, we're not supposed to put liquor to our lips. And I said, you don't have to announce it. But there's many people who find excuse and they bring the Bible and take the Bible and say, yes, God says that. It's like when God takes you away from smoking, when God takes you away from doing drugs, when God takes you away from, you know, to committing adultery and all these different sins, these things that have been stopping us from growing, stopping us from walking upright and righteous in the sight of God. When God pulls that thorn out, when God pulled that root out, when God took out everything that was in you, we're not supposed to go back and put ourselves into that subjection. We're not to have those base thoughts. We're not to have those characters flowing through us. It reminded me that 2 weeks ago I spoke about sowing seeds and the miracles of seeds. And, you know, it brought me back today when I'm doing this. I was like, wow, God, here I am talking about seeds. And one of those seeds fell among thorns. And it said it grew up, but it got choked. It was suffocated. The thorns that is so deep within us, these pricklings, these feelings, these sins, these sorrows, these hidden, you know, things that are so deep, the struggles that we go through that nobody can see because it's not on the surface, it's an internal struggle. These are the only struggles that God can help us out of. He is the one that can pull us out. So as we're going through and living our life, serving God, we are to encourage each other. But there's a fine line between encouragement and judgment. We are to help others to grow, but be humble in knowing our own weaknesses, in knowing our own struggles, in knowing what we went through, and also in being humble to know that where we are today, what we have accomplished, the walk that we're walking was not walking, it was not run, it was not walked by ourselves, but we are here attaining this grace of God because He chose to pour out His love, because He graced us with mercy. He graced us with His forgiveness, and He instructed us. So as we're encouraging others, especially me, you know, I have to be mindful. And I think most of the time when I look like, and I have to catch myself, is when I'm amongst leaders. And when leaders are, you know, we're at a little function or barbecue cookout, and they're having little cocktails or drinks. This is where I have to ask God to help me, to keep me humble. And I always say, God, if it's me who you want to say something, give me the words to say. Give me the words to say so that I can encourage and not come off as being critical, as being judgmental. But I want that everything that we're doing to be only to the glory of God, no matter how minute, no, small, or how great and grand that the gesture or what we're doing is. Our postures of our heart need to always be pure. our volitions, our thoughts need to be connected to do what God is asking us to do. It always has to be toward the kingdom and for the kingdom. It always has to be in the mindset that I want everyone to go to heaven, and I want them to receive the Lord and their full capacity in the way that God has given his love and grace to me. Not doing it because, you know, of something else. For instance, I'm going to share the story. My older sister that moved to Texas, her and my mom have fallen out because my sister has embedded hurts that was there from my mom, but my mom also has embedded hurts. And I told my sister, encourage her, you have to allow God to work out these feelings. And the same with my mom, to work it out. If you don't work it out, we can never have a full relationship. You cannot have a flawed relationship. So I call her yesterday and I say, hey, you know, in the morning, are you going to call mommy for Mother's Day? And she's like, no, I'm not. You know, and she was adamant. And I said, you know what? Regardless of whatever it is, that's your mother. Again, you don't want this pain to take you away from the joy of a mother. What if, God forbid, it's not going to be anytime soon, God decides to call her home or her time has run its course, and you still have this bite and feeling, this wall that you don't want to have anything to do with her? Would you feel okay knowing that you never get to mend it? And she said, you're right, you know, but, you know, I just don't want this. And I'm like, no, it's not about what you want. It's about what we know God is asking us to do. It's about what we know is right. And when you do it, you're not just doing it because you're doing it just to say, oh, I'm asking you to do it. No, it has to come from pureness and a place of love. So as we're helping others, as we're bringing for correction, it needs to be from a place of love and not from a place of judgment. Otherwise, it will never be received. And that same correction you're trying to give out will fall back on you. It will become a thorn because people will now become upset at you. They will feel like you're acting like you're better than them and all X, Y, Z. And that is the furthest thing that God wants for us, is to be seen like we're selfish or we're doing something because we're looking for gain or anything of that sort. So again, allow God to be the one to manage what is deeply rooted, to either bring it out or to manage it, help you to rise above it and choose to always put the kingdom and his glory and his grace and all that he gives to us in exchange and a reciprocal to others that are in need of it. Amen? Let's continue. I want us to take a look at Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 20 to 21, and then I'm going to go to 25 and 28. And I'm going to read from the NIV. Amen. It says, For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, from since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood for what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Mm-hmm. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened from the beginning of time. Verse 25 said, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Verse 28 says, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a deprived mind and to do what ought not to be done. Verses 29 to 31 says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways to do evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. I just want to stop right there before I continue. When I see these words, I thank God every single day, because never can I ever say, or can we, not just me, ever say we didn't know what God is asking us to do. Never did we, could we ever say that, you know, how would I have known what I'm not supposed to do? I thank God for the Bible, and I thank God for allowing these words to be in here, because God clearly lays out what we're not supposed to carry forth. These are the things that we're supposed to remove. These are the thorns that will suffocate us. These are the things that even if we're doing the will of God and we allow it to fester in our hearts and in our souls, if we allow it to build and formate in our minds, it will take us over. Like the word says here, our hearts became darkened because we chose not to follow and live by what God is asking us to live. It says from since the creation of the world, so since from the beginning of time, when we think of Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve disobeyed. Adam and Eve did not follow what God did. And God says, I will allow the thorn and thistle bush to grow. It will consume you. It will take over. Adam and Eve allowed that sin to fester out from the beginning of creation. And it's not like we didn't know. It's not like our forefathers, Adam and Eve, they didn't know. They knew what God said not to do. It was clearly spoken to them. We hear it in our spirit. We feel it in our spirit. We read it in the Holy Bible. They got the instruction directly from our Creator, from our Master, from our King, and they chose to not follow. It says men are without excuse. It was from the beginning of time made clear. And even to date, many times we look at our children and they're so innocent in their heart. And they're innocent up until an age, until they now have a relationship with God, that they now understand right from wrong. When we understand right from wrong, our parents are the ones that teach us, right? Not to allow this to us. You need to not be like this because you don't want it to take you over. You don't want it to consume you. You don't want to become it. We hear these words. But I know as a child growing up, sometimes it's not only what the parents are telling us is wrong, but from the beginning of time, the Holy Spirit touches us and let us know that something is not right. The Holy Spirit was there from the beginning of time within us, guiding us and telling us not to act in a certain way. But the word says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, those who do these things will only bring darkness into your life. It will not bring anything that is flourishing in. It will only continue to sink deeper into our souls. It will sink and fester. They do not only continue to do those very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Of those who do them. When you see your friends and your loved ones, family, you know, coworkers, act in a certain way, we are supposed to say, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that. We find a way of love to bring that correction so that it doesn't come off as judgment. I know at my job, my current job where I'm at, just the other day we had to speak, you know, they're trying this thing that they've been doing it since I've been there and I guess before, inclusiveness, to bring together, you know, no racial boundaries so that everyone feels included, whether you're of the same sex, of the next sex, whatever the situation is, that people can come to a place and work without any form of judgment. You know, and I remember they brought our group together, and I don't understand why they brought our group together, but I don't know if it was for everyone, but I know in our group they were asking, does anyone feel like they don't belong? Does anyone feel like they don't this? And I remember at that moment, that pain in my stomach started bubbling because I experienced something when I first went there where, you know, I'm the only black person in the whole department. But they created an atmosphere, and not all of them, it was only a few. But because others were there and they didn't speak up, it made what this one or two individuals were doing overtake the whole atmosphere that I was sitting in. So I felt very alone. I felt separated. Every day I would go in and pray and ask God, you know, God, how do you do this? And I'm like, you know, everything happened for a reason. This COVID has brought so much blessing in so many people's life. But at the same time, we know that a lot of people also lost their life. But everything happens for a reason. God is known of all that we go through and all that we're about to experience before we can even experience it. So I shared my story with them, and I told them, you know, certain individuals, I didn't call names, create this way, and this is how I feel. I said, I felt this way, and I still do feel this way. And I, you know, they're like, you know, if you want to turn on your camera, I said, I can't turn on my camera because I'm crying. My heart was so heavy. And, you know, my boss called me after, and I explained to him, I said, this is the reason why I shared, because this has been holding me back from including myself. This thorn, this sadness, this pain that I feel inside of me has been stopping me from being who I am to be. They all know the minister at the place, and whenever they need prayers, they call me aside and ask me to pray, and I'm always open to serve. But at the same time, I would hold myself from creating more with them because I felt, because one or two or four of them didn't speak up, that they were in agreement with what the others were doing. So we have to be very careful of how we're perceived in what we're doing. So when you are not encouraging others to walk upright for God or what they're doing is not right, we have to be careful that it seems like you're on their side and doing evil and doing wrong. When someone speaks to someone else, you know, in my life, in my family, down talk, even my mother, and, you know, it also has to do with culture. You know, these thorns that are embedded, these hurts that are deeply within that we cannot see with our eyes, but we can feel it. You know, even my own mom, when my mom speaks or says something wrong, you know, I always encourage her with love. And I said, Mom, what you're doing is not right. You're not supposed to treat people like that. You're supposed to speak with love. And she flips out, da, da, da. But I said, Mom, and then days later she'll come back and she said, Andira, you know you were right. But I know that I've seen many people, even within the churches, we have to be careful. We have to be very careful. When we see injustice, when we see someone mistreated somebody else in a way that is not right, and we sit there and go along with it, we're encouraging and allowing that person to feel the way they're treating people is right. Many people from the old church that I've left said, no, 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 oh, my God, we cannot tell them that they're doing what they're saying or doing is wrong. We know they're wrong. Many of them sit there and they know they're wrong, but they choose to allow that thorn to suffocate and fester the growth of the Lord in that place. Because they won't speak up. You're praying, but you feel like you're supposed to speak up, but you're fearful of the repercussion. We have to allow God to lead us. And I know with me, I'm vocal. Apostle knows me very well. I'm vocal. When I see injustice, when I see wrong, when I see evil, I do not have any problem pointing it out. But I do it with love. I do it with reality. You know, and I ask God each day to help me to be softer in my tone or softer in my direct approach. Because we don't want to hurt people along the way, but at the same time, we want others to see that God needs to reign. God needs to take preference. We can't allow these bitterness, these words, these insolent, arrogant characters, these things that are not envy, murder, slaughter, strife, to continue to fester within us, within our congregation, within our walk, because what does it do? It stops us from walking. We allow these backbitings as husband and wife, you know, to mothers and daughters, fathers and sons in our own home to fester. Sometimes the silence of knowing what they're doing is wrong and just refusing to say something allows it to grow and grow. And before you know it, it suffocates. Before you know it, you explode. We explode and we create more damage than good. We need to allow God to enter. We need to allow God to come out and remove the torn, remove the sadness, remove the hurt that is deeply embedded. Disappointment after disappointment allow more hurt to go deeper and deeper. Before you know it, you're walking around. We're walking around like zombies. We're walking around, and everywhere we look, we feel like we're suffocating because we have not been set free, because these things are still weighing us down. That splinter is getting deeper into our hearts. And eventually, if God doesn't reach in and manage it, it will change us. It will change us, and God doesn't want that. So whatever it is that we are going through today, whatever it is that we're going through in daily life, a friend of mine called me once and she said, girl, I had no idea that I had this hurt from way back when, but God revealed it to me. God will reveal where that splinter is, and he will be the one to manage or to remove it completely. Amen. Romans chapter 2 continues, and I just want to read verses 1 in Romans chapter 2 in addition to this these scriptures from Romans chapter 1. It says, chapter 2, verses 1 says, you, therefore, have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same thing. And that comes back again. He says we have no excuse because if we're judging people and we know that we have our own imperfection, we're judging them to condemn them. We're judging others to not help or encourage them to build them up. We are just as at fault as the individual who's committing the act. We are supposed to help bring correction in love, with the love of God, with the grace and the kindness that God extends to us. Not to be judgmental, to pass it. Because you know what? My mom always say, when you point one finger, remember four is pointing back at you. And I remember when I first, when I was young, I used to do that. No, it's Debbie. No, it's Jenny. And my mom says, stop pointing. Because you had your fault and you're playing it. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. No matter how much we try to argue, no matter how when we get into arguments and back and forth with people, we all have a part to play. So we have to be mindful to allow the Holy Spirit, to allow God in that moment when you see that argument brewing, when you see that back and forth brewing, to stay silent, to stay and say, you know what? Let me not say anything. Let me stay quiet, God, until you release my tongue. And I will stay silent and I will pray and pray and ask God to help me. Ask God to help me so I could say words that are uplifting instead of words that are condemning and cutting down. Because there will never be a growth out of that, right? Never. God says, therefore, you have no excuse. Be mindful. Be mindful of how we help, of how we speak to others, of how we bring correction, of how we show love, that our heart posture, whatever is embedded, is not darkened. That is something that is of joy and of light and of a freedom and liberating feeling so that others can grow and be encouraged to do the reverse of what they're doing. Amen? Amen. I just want to read one more scriptures. I want us to go and take a look back to Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. It says, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from the from the torn brushes, and grapes are not picked from the bramble brushes. Verse 45 says, a good person produces good things from the treasure of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is within your heart. When I read this chapter, this was a part of, the Luke that I read. And when I saw 43 to 45, in that moment, God says, I need you to use this as a closing. As humans, as children of God, as mothers, as fathers, as sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, cousins, we always have to be, again, mindful. Many of us, all of us, have experienced some sort of hurt. But if our heart is with God, and if we choose to love God, and we choose to serve God, and we have given over every hurt to God, and, sometimes there's hurt so deep that we didn't even realize it was there. We just feel it. In that moment, in this moment, give those hurt over to God so that when we deal with others, when we go for and serve God, that we will be a tree. We will be a person that produces godly fruits. We will be of those who have good seeds, of those who are able to plant seeds on good soil, that will flourish, that no thorn, no splinter, no prickling will be in us to hurt us, that what is still there that is deeply is being managed by God, that as Apostle Paul says, this weakness will be used for good. I will give God glory and I will boast because I know he has brought me from a place that is so deep, a place that is so hurtful, but yet I am here. I am preaching his word. I am ministering to others. I am encouraging. I am praying for others. This is the place that God wants us to be, that no matter even in our saddest moment, even in our darkest moment, even when the enemy might feel like he has us held tight, God will be there to rescue us, and we will choose to bring forth fruits. Whatever you say flows from what is in your heart. We all have a heart. But do we want our heart to be darkened, or do we want it to be light and free? We want joy to flow out. As mothers, we always have to be on the guard as mothers to make sure that we are sowing joy into our children. We are showing joy into our husbands. We're sowing joy into our family. As mothers, tomorrow is Mother's Day. Many mothers, and I know this for a fact, I watch my mom. I love my mom daily. We've had our struggles, but no matter what, I still love her because in her struggle, I see her suffering. In her joy of trying to show us her best love, I hear her praying to God, and I pray that she finds God solely and completely. She knows God. In all that we're going through, we still have to find that place of love, and that is only the help of God. As mothers, none of us on this line or that will hear this word, young mothers, older mothers, will hear, not say that they have not prayed or cried out to God. We always know that he's there. As a person as a whole, we want to produce good fruit. We want to continue to allow these pricklings, these thorns that will suffocate us to be removed. We want, as our children grow up, as our relationships grow, that it grows with the grace of God. It grows with the mercy of God. It grows in the forgiveness of God. So today, I want us to pray. I want us to uplift each other and ask God to take out these thorns. Take out these things that don't belong. Help us, dear Lord, to manage it. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I am asking you, we are coming together, Father, collectively, Father God, in our own various places of where we are, and we're thanking you for your word. We're thanking you for your love, but Father God, we're thanking you for your mighty hand. We're thanking you for your instructions. We're thanking you for your Holy Spirit that lives within us in the mighty name of Jesus. We're thanking you, Father God, because we know we have not been, we are, would not be where we are. We would not be able to sit here in your presence, dear Lord, if it wasn't because of your grace and your love, dear Lord, the act of you, Father God, dying for us. Dear Lord, we are thanking you, Father God, to help us to remove every hindrance that is blocking us from serving you, every hindrance that is blocking us from serving others, every hindrance that is blocking us, Father God, from being the light that you have called us to be those that others see your glory upon. Father God, allow us to continue to be joyful so others will know and understand what joy is and that it's given only from God, that we will boast upon you. We will boast of your greatness, Father God, of where you have brought us from. We will boast, Father God, of your dependency, that's us being dependent on you. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we are also asking you in this moment, dear Lord, to uplift. Father God, we're praying just for mothers. I want us to pray a special prayer for mothers, that God will continue to grace them, that God will continue to help them, that God will continue to be the covering over them, to help them to be great, to help them to sow good seeds, to help them to produce fruits that will be joyful in their life, in their marriages, in their relationship with their children, in their homes, in their jobs, wherever they are. Father God, we're praying a special prayer, Father God, not just today, but every day for mothers, dear Lord. We're asking you, dear Lord, to continue to pour into them, to continue to uproot every sore, dear Lord, every negativity that is in their heart. Father God, you created us great. You created us with a womb that can hold much, dear Lord, but sometimes hurts are so deep in the womb, dear Lord, that we get lost. We're asking you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to take out, to cleanse our womb, dear Lord, to remove what is in there that is not of you, to remove every hurt, to remove every bitterness, to remove every negativity, to remove selfishness, to remove anything, dear Lord, that will stop us from giving the love, to giving the nourishment, dear Lord, that you have created us to be nurturing, to be caring, to be loving, Father God, to be encouraging, dear Lord, to be joyful, dear Lord, to experience and go for it, Father God, and embrace others, dear Lord. Father God, we're asking you to continue to pour out upon us and help us, dear Lord, to rise above. Father God, we're praying for every mother that are going through right now. Father God, that is going through some sort of pain and sorrow, sorrows that are deep embedded in them that was created from years before. Dear Lord, we're asking you to uproot that seed, to uproot that thorn, to take that splinter out, dear Lord, to take it out so that they can have the release that is needed, Father God, that they can know you, that they can understand you deeper and build their relationship with you, because we know life only comes from you. And if you are able to connect with each and every one of us, dear Lord, we will be able to speak life. We will be able, dear Lord, to encourage. We will be able, dear Lord, to share love. So, Father God, we are asking you to continue to pour out. Let your refreshing fall upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, we are giving you the glory, we are giving you the honor, and we are giving you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Apostle?
Thank you so much, Minister Badmus. We thank God for you. Thank God for you and for that powerful anointed word, I tell you. I've heard a lot of people minister on that tone in the side and torn in the vessel, but I tell you, you did it justice today. You took it to another dimension. Glory to God. I mean, I had to stop myself at points in time. I'm on this job, putting in two heating systems and two water heaters, the combo. And mm-hmm. I had to stop because it was just so beautiful just to hear the deliverance of the word, where God has taken you through the scriptures to release into our ears today. And Father God, I just thank you and praise you, God, for your servant. Thank you for the word that you have given her to release into our ear gates today. We ask, oh God, that you would pour back into her. Ah, Lord, replenish all that she has poured out today and more. God, that the next appointed time that you choose to use her, God, she will have more than enough. God, we ask you to watch over and keep everything, perfect everything that concerns her. Lord, watch over her husband, her daughter, her mother, her sister. Bring them to a closer walk with you, Lord God, as she walks. Lord, let her light continue to shine, oh God. Let her light continue to shine, that they will see the light that she has, you have placed in her, oh God, and draw closer to you, Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name for this word today, Lord. I mean, if you didn't hear the word, man, you need to go back and listen to it, because it was a powerful anointed word that this woman of God has taken her time and release into the atmosphere. Satan is mad. I'm telling you that he is mad today, Minister Butler. He is mad because you have shown him up. That even though we have thorns, that God's grace is sufficient for us. That we can still make it. We can make it on the love that he has given us in the midst of all the trials that we are facing. So I thank you. I thank you again for delivering the word. I see Vanessa Campbell just got on. She probably was listening by way of computer, but she's on. Now that I can see her number. So the line is open. I'm going to go back on mute because I don't really want to disturb you guys. I'm over here trying to make these funds because you all probably heard about all the people that die in Africa and India. India is the worst. Oh, one of our pastors down there, his father, just asked people to pray. One of the churches that we support, his father's brother is in the hospital, and his lungs is very infected. So they don't know if he's going to make it. So we've been praying for him for the last couple of days. And we had pastors that we got the pictures of them that just dropped down dead from the COVID. So while you're praying and you're eating your steak and you're eating your barbecue chicken, pray for the people in India, okay? They can't go to the emergency room like we can go. You understand? They don't have the funds to do it. And I thank God for every one of you all that gave from time to time to help us, okay? We just sent out money on Wednesday. And when I get home, I am sent out some to India. I just sent out to Africa on Wednesday. And we're going to send out when I get home. I'm not going to get paid for this job today because I still got a lot of work to do, a lot of work. I am wiring up the stuff now, and I still got the other boiler to finish. I just finished one, but I got the other one to finish. But we'll have some fun soon. Okay? The line is open for anyone that wants to come on and encourage the woman of God. Even if you didn't hear the word, you know about the thorn that was in Paul's side. Everybody can relate to that because all of us have to deal with a thorn from time to time. Every one of us. The line is open.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle.
You're welcome.
Amen. The line is open for anyone that wants to add to the word or just want to share a testimony, sing a song, whatever it is that God has placed in your heart. Please don't forget that tomorrow is Mother's Day, so if you want to say a prayer or whatever God places on your heart, please let's take this moment and this time to do so. Amen.
No, there's people on the line. People on the line, people on the line, people on the line, but nobody's saying anything. People on the line. The line is open. The line is open. The line is open. Evangelist Campbell Funes is still searching and spinning, thinking of whatever it is you call it. Trying to come on. I just pulled her in, but it's not coming in. She's trying to get on the line. Let me see here. Glory, 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 glory.
Maybe they just want to listen to focus, Apostle.
Yeah, she's trying to come on her. You know how the computer spins, has that little circle going around, like it's trying to come in, but it's not. Okay. I just tapped there for her to come straight in.
She says to tell you, tell God I'm talking.
She's talking,
but we can't hear her. Yeah, she says she's talking, but we can't hear her.
Yeah, because the line is not pulled in yet. You could, let me see if I can pull in three way. I can pull in now.
She says she hears us. Okay.
You can talk, because the computer ain't not letting you come in. But I got
okay.
You.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I can tell. I can't. Nobody. I don't think anybody's hearing me because he's still talking and I'm talking. So I don't think anyone hears me. thank God for everyone this morning. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank God for God's Resurrection Power Church in Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank God for you, Apostle Calendar, Lady Nancy Calendar, to you, Minister Andera. Let me get this out of the way to all the mothers, to all the Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day
whatever,
to you. Amen.
Whatever role you play, whatever role you take, Happy Mother's Day. And I thank God for you all this morning. I did not get on to the message this morning. As Dad said, I was trying, but you know when you try to get on the computer, it will only don't tone you in where you are when you're live. So now I tried to go catch it, but I couldn't get it. So I just had to come on in. But I thank God in the mighty name of Jesus. And I heard Dad talking about Paul and Silas in the mighty name of Jesus, you know. And I'm thankful. I'm so very thankful because there are people today in this life don't know the road that they're traveling on. Spiritually, they're out for a task, but they haven't really heard from God. They're on a journey, and they are set out to do a work. They are set out to do a work. Some are set out to do a good work, and some are just out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a time when I was I used to go and go and go and go. Anybody call me, I would get up and go. It didn't matter what time, day or night, I would go. Just go, 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 and go. Visit hospitals, go from church to church to church, temple to temple to temple, bringing that word of God, delivering the word of God from a child, from my youth up. But then one day my grandmother told me, we was traveling, and my grandmother said to me, I said, Grandmother, she was already in her 80s. I said, one day I'm going to be just like you. I'm going to live to get as old as you are. She said, you won't make it. I said, why do you say that, Grandmother? She said, you're moving too fast. Sometimes we move too fast and we're not hearing God. So God, when God knocked them down from their beast, when God knocked them down, they didn't have a choice but to hear. And sometimes don't get worried about a block in your way. There are times when God is protecting us. You know, we feel like we're in a place and we're stuck. You're not stuck on your own. You're in that place because God needs you to hear from him. He needs you to hear him. The word of God says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says unto the church.
Amen.
But I was hearing apostles say, we all been down the road of one way or the one way or the other. We are all travelers on this journey. And no matter what we go through in life, no matter how we go through it, God will get us to it. He will always take us through to where we are going if only we apply our listening ears to what the Spirit of the Lord has to say unto us. I am going back to hear the message. As a matter of fact, as apostles say, the buffering, I was trying to get on then so I could zero in with you, Minister Undera. But I thank God because I know whatever you bought this morning came from God. I don't have to speculate. I know this in my spirit because I have watched you grow. I haven't seen you with my natural eyes, but my spiritual eyes have watched you grow from a child here.
Mm-hmm.
You've matured. Much maturity has come. When I say from a child, I mean in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer drinking milk with us. You're not drinking milk anymore. You're not a suckling anymore. You're coming on. You're getting that meat. You are bringing the word. And I thank God for you, Apostle, for allowing so many of us to come back to Jesus. You know, it takes a selfless person to allow children, you hear what I say? To allow children to grow up and not want to put them on the back burner and say, just wait and let me get through. And then when I'm done, you can have something. It takes a selfless person to do that. It takes a selfless act. An apostle has been that one way. He has guided me. He has taken me by my hand, literally, just taken me by my hand in the spirit and just said, okay, I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to get you to this place. Then I'm going to let your hands go. You read. He would say, read, okay? And then he was just guiding me. And then he'd say, you will bring it. You will have something to say tonight. I'm going to give you a subject. I'm going to give you a scripture. You study this and you do that. This is a structured environment. And this is what God wants from us as leaders, as pastors, as teachers, as apostles. We have to have a structured environment for the people of God so that they can be groomed, so that they can have some direction, so that they can know which way to travel. If they're confused, they have someone to go to. So I'm thankful. I thank God for you, Apostle. Thank God for you, Minister Undera. God bless you and continue to keep you. Bless your family, your husband, your daughter. Continue to bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless your womb in the name of Jesus. We just thank God right now in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. There are many people today, many ladies. And we was talking, and I'm getting off now, but I'm being led by the Spirit. We were talking about wounded wounds. And I've heard some young ladies were saying that, you know, they want to give birth, they want to have children, even some married, but they haven't reached that place yet. But we got into this conversation about wounded wounds. If your womb is wounded, it needs healing, correct? So
Amen.
Until that time happens, until you allow God to bring you to that place, you won't be able to give birth. And it's the same way in the spirit.
Amen.
Some of us have too many wounds, and we're trying to go out and lead people. We're trying to go out and deliver words when we're wounded and we haven't been healed. So I just thank God
Amen.
For the word today, woman of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Continue to go forth. And I just bless you right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for Minister Andera. Thank you for the work that you're doing in her life, God, in the name of Jesus, that she will continue to let her light shine, that her life, oh God, that you would get the glory of her life, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, so that she will live in a way, God, that there will be many who would not mind following her and following you, because as she will lead them, God, she will be leading them to cross. She will be leading them to you, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, for that we say thank you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. Bless her family, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for healing in her body, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for healing in a home, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the structured environment, in the name of Jesus, as she go through her house praying and anointing her doorposts, God, in the name of Jesus. We just give you the glory, honor, and praise, and allow her to know that her prayer are being heard in the heavens, God. And Lord, we say thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, that she should not lose faith, but she should hold on in the mighty name of Jesus and continue to see what the end is going to be. Lord, her greater shall be greater than she can ever even imagine. And Lord, we thank you right now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, and thank God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist Apostle Darlene. Amen. I thank God for you. I thank God for your added words that you add. I pray and I ask God that you, but if God leads you to bring a word on that wounded wound, that it's such so powerful what you said just now, and as you were breaking it down, it is very, very powerful. And I thank God for every word that you have laid out for us, the addition to the word, which is on point. On this journey that we are on, we just have to solely be careful to use God and allow God, not use God, but allow God to use us and to heal us and to help us to reach the full potential that we are intended to be. I thank God for every word. I thank God for your family. I thank God for your life. I thank God for you. Like you said, happy Mother's Day to you and to everyone that we have been mothers to, right? It's not just our own children. It's for everyone, even our own family members and colleagues of our own age. Sometimes we have a motherly, nurturing way to them. So we just thank God and ask God to continue to bless each and every one of us and bless your entire family in Jesus' name. And thank you for the prayers. Amen. I love
Amen.
You. Thank you so much. Please, please bring that word. Wounded wounds. I was like, woo, Jesus. Yes. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. Thank you, Lord. The line is open for anyone that would like to add to the word, that would like to pray, that would like to encourage someone today in Jesus' name. Or sing a song. Amen. If not Apostle, let me know what you want us to do.
Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon in your part of
Good
the
afternoon.
Country.
Good afternoon.
I heard this. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I was incognito on my other line, but I wanted to wish you all happy Mother's Day. Have a blessed Mother's
Amen.
Day.
Amen. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy,
happy
Mother's,
Mother's Day.
And I heard the words. I hear the words sometimes. Sometimes I just don't speak. But I praise God for the words. And this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist, for sharing. Thank you. We give God the glory for you, and we ask that God to continue to touch you, whatever it is that, you know, you have going on, to continue to encourage you and to strengthen you as you go through it. You know, and I understand that completely, where there's times you just want to join in and listen. You don't want to share because you just need to absorb. And I've been there where I just need to absorb and I just want to take in. So we give God the glory. We thank God for allowing us to have many opportunities to share and as well as a listening heart to receive. Thank you. Amen.
I heard a song. I was reading my devotion today, and I've been walking with this book since I was in my 20s. And I think this is the sentiment of what I'm feeling right now today, because you pour out, but sometimes you need to hear, like you say, you need to hear and you need to regroup and unwind mm-hmm. and all the stuff you need to do. And Saturday is a good day to do that if you're not working, right? So mm-hmm. When I read this, the song by Smokey Norful, I Understand, came to me. And that's exactly where I am. So if I could just give you this and play that song, I have nothing really much to say unless the Lord moves me to do it. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to go on
receive
my
it.
Other
Amen.
Line. Okay, hold on. Let me go on my other line because it's a little more non. Hold on.
Okay. You know, and that's just it. You know, sometimes we don't have to always encourage in words or to speak or in a prayer, whatever God leads on your heart to do in that moment. Share a song, sing a song. You know, just or if you want to share a testimony, that's all we have to do is do it. It helps. Every little helps in the kingdom.
May
and it blesses each and every one of us.
I'm sorry. Go on. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just speaking on what you were saying. Go ahead.
May 8th. Is today the 8th? Yes. Okay. May 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Walking in the midst of the fire, Daniel 3:25. The fire mm-hmm. did not arrest their motion. They walked in the midst of it. It was one of the streets through which they moved to their destiny. The comfort of Christ's revelation is not that it teaches emancipation from sorrow, but emancipation through sorrow. Oh, my God, teach me when the shadows have gathered that I am only in a tunnel. It is enough for me to know that it will be all right someday. They tell me that I shall stand upon the peaks of Olivet, the heights of resurrection glory. But I want more, O my Father. I want Calvary to lead up to it. I want to know that the shadows of this world are the shades of an avenue, the avenue to the house of my Father. Tell me I am only forced to climb because thy house is on the hill. I shall receive no hurt from sorrow if I shall walk in the midst of the fire, by George Matheson.
Amen.
The road is too tough, I said. It is uphill all the way. No flowers but thorns instead. And the skies overhead are gray. But once my hand at the entrance dim, and sweet is the road that I walk with him. The cross is too great, I cried, more than the back can bear. So rough and heavy and wide, and no body to care. And one stooped softly and touched my hand. I know, I care, and I understand. That right there, and I understand, made me think of Smokey Norville's song.
Wow.
Then why do we fret and sigh? Cross bearers all we go. But the road ends by and by in the dearest place we know. And every step in the journey we may take in the Lord's own company. And
sometimes
we got to locate where we are, because when I went to pray, I just found myself pouring out to God. I know who I am. You know who you are. But still, we're engrafted in Christ Jesus. And people think they know us, but how do they know so much about us when we still are working to know ourselves? And then my pastor would say, you have to not allow other people to define you. But I want to say that two things happened to me within 7 days, and I know who I know what I do. I don't talk about it. I know who I am, you know, and I know my struggles, and I'm working with Christ to deal with all that, trying to get it in perspective because I've been ordained twice. Mm-hmm. I know there's a calling on my life, but there are things pulling at me, trying to give me their philosophy of this, that, and the other, you know, and take me in all these different directions, and I need to get into God to figure out, you know, sometimes you got to walk away from all of that stuff. But anyway, you know, I stay with who I stay with, and then I walk away from the rest unless I'm to tarry there. But two things happened that really I felt so violated. But I just, the way I dealt with it was give it away. One, I found an orchid. I have an orchid, but this orchid stopped me in my tracks. And I spent thousands of dollars at this place. And long story short, I asked them to put it on hold. They said, we'll switch them in. They all know me. And then a lady noticed it, and she wanted it too. And she left, and then she came back. I can give you the whole story because God allowed me to know the whole story. And she said, if she doesn't come back for that orchid, I want it. I walked to the home to get my orchid to exchange it. My name was on it. And this person took my name off that orchid and gave it to that lady. And pretended that he was looking for a receipt, like what happened? Was it a personal order? When he was the culprit. So I was really upset because I felt disrespected, disregarded, on and on. Then I had a complaint about my flower pot this week. And people do have stands and different things, and mine is near the stairwell. But someone has been telling me about the maintenance person, that they don't trust him, watch him. There's something they were picking up. So I get this call from the property management company complaining about my flowers. And I've had this pot for 15 years, so I put it on a stand. We're only supposed to really have one pot. So I did have three. I had little pots, so I put them behind the big pot. And I asked, is this sticking out of everything so I could be very careful to keep the stairwell clear? And I bought a beautiful something else on the side, like a piece of art, but it's really for the garden, and it's a frog. And this person called the property management company. And then after I finished with the property management company, I called him, and I dealt with it. And then I called the property management company again. So you know how I dealt with it was, I walked into my neighbor who has, they have like four properties, and I told him, and he's like, what? He said, that is so, you know, and he said, don't give it, put it on eBay. I'm like, no, no, no. I said, can you, do you have room for this? Because it was like the Lord was freeing me up. No, I don't know if it was Lord. The only way I can heal from this and was to let the thing go. So I said, you can take it all. Except for my frog. He said, this is not obstructing. This is beautiful. And I just put the plants in and everything.
But the way I dealt with it was to get rid of the whole thing. And I'm still upset. But I confronted that person because he's been angry. I mean, he's been rude to me. He doesn't want to talk to me. I've known this man 15 years. He's an ordained minister now. Mm-hmm. And he can repair everything. He lost everything he had in the fire. And the owner, he reached out to the owner who died last year, and he came back, let him come back, gave him his vehicle and everything. So to help him out and his family, so he lives in one of the houses. So long story short, I asked him about the owner, and he said he died. I was like, what? So I was taken aback. Then he said, I shouldn't have told you. I shouldn't, you know, with this attitude. And he's been like that ever since. And I used to talk to Brother Carter about him, and he says some people don't know how to handle death. But, okay, the owner died February 2020 from mesothelioma. And, but he's been acting odd, and I confronted him about his behavior. But long story short, sometimes you got to let it go. In other words, I'm not really holding on to the big things, like I need to learn how to drive cars and all that. It's the little things. The flower. I used to open my door to look at my flowers. So what I'm saying is sometimes these attacks come, these things that throw you off. The enemy wants to deny you, but you just got to find your solace in the Lord. So now I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to play I Understand. Okay. I'm getting these two offers, one proposal for marriage, and then I'm getting another offer to relocate, and they also say that this is going to be a heavy fire season. As a matter of fact, today we are already on watch. But anyway, let me play Smokey Norfield. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
And let me bring this to the message. The message today about people's attitudes and people's way of ministering. Sometimes I just believe you got to stay in the spirit, because if you're in prayer and you stay in the spirit, you won't even know what you're saying sometimes, but you are ministering the word of God to the people, and the Spirit knows what they need and what you need to minister your soul, to your spirit, to encourage you on the way, because so many people are going through so many things. I heard that word today. I hear the word. I hear it for the week. I don't hear it every day. I mean, I'm kind of with the ministers almost every day. Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm. Some one way or the other. Okay, let me see. I forgot I got my thing on, this cast on my finger. Okay, I understand. Okay. And I hope it ministers to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Rick was born in 2014. He was diagnosed at the age of 3.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my faith just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. See, I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear, the Lord I see, and yes, I understand. feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can.
I did speak to someone from India through Dell, you know, because with this world, our technology does cause us to talk to people all over the world. So it's good. And we have to stay prayerful. There is good news about a lady. I don't know if y'all heard about a woman in Mali. They saw 7 children in her womb, but she birthed 9 2 days ago. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Evangelist Sheila, for that powerful added word, music, word of encouragement, testimony that you gave. I mean, I know you said you weren't going to share, but look what God allowed you to share, something so beautiful. I just want to thank God for your reading. First off, that reading was powerful. I thank God for your testimony. You know, you shared that you got rid of all these plans. But, you know, in doing that, sometimes we let go of old things because God has something better that's coming. You know, so we might feel like, you know, it's gone and God is going to heal us. But when we release it, you know, God is going to give us something greater. So we thank God for that. And I thank God for that powerful music that you share. We understand. And it's so important because many of us have been there. I've been there where, you know, I'm going through, and Evangelist Darlene also touched on it, you know, we're going through this journey, and, you know, sometimes we just don't fully understand where God is leading us, but we just have to keep moving because the greater of where we're going to end is bigger than we could even understand or fathom, but God is the one that's going to get us there. So we just have to keep holding on to him. And did you say you received a proposal?
Oh, yeah.
a marriage proposal?
I'm kind of barged in right now, so I got to, like, get, I got to really spend time in the quietness and listening. Yeah, oh, yeah. I've been received.
Oh,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, no,
like,
well,
wait,
yeah, but it's not
just
a...
You trying to sneak it in.
No, no, no. Apostle LeGrand's walking me through it from a spiritual perspective. I even talked to Apostle Calendar about it. But it's just I'm walking through it. But anyway, I've been advised though to be very quiet. And I was even told that I'm gonna quote unquote it. You won't know who said it. I may know more about this than you do. So I'm gonna leave that. And then another person invited me to come visit. So right now, I'm kind of like, I want to run a little bit to the arms of God to get clarity. What is going on? And you know, being, you know, someone told me I should stay in California. But I tell you, these fire things are scary. But anyway, and then I listen, but... Just got to wait. Sometimes you got to, in my prayer, and it was short, I heard at the end, sometimes just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Doesn't mean you are going to not act. It's just you need clarity. You know what I mean? Amen.
Right.
Things unfold.
Amen. Well, congratulations. And go ahead.
I remember... that I could feel, I kept saying, something's going to happen. I can feel it. I don't know what it is, but something's going to happen. And that was the year of Katrina. And so I remember the events around it. So sometimes you just don't know. You know, you can't tell. You just got to wait. Amen. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. You know, I was interrupting you. No, we give God the glory for you, and we thank you, and we pray that God will guide you on this journey, and whichever proposal he leads you to have, you will receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. We're asking God in the mighty name of Jesus to continue to cover you, to continue to open up your heart, your mind, and your spirit, to hear from him clearly and to receive all of his blessings in the mighty name of Jesus, and to give you the clarity that you need to move forward, to transition to the place that he has for you in the mighty name of Jesus. I know for me, when I listen, when I had to make certain decisions, acceptance, I should say, not decisions, but receive what was being placed before me, I stayed still and I listened, and I listened with my spirit. You know, I said to one of my friends, when you're making a choice to choose something and you don't know which way to go, don't just listen with your ears or your heart. Listen with your spirit. When your spirit is settled, when you know that it's God that is leading you, your body will find peace. Your heart will find peace. Your mind will find peace. And every worry will be canceled out. So we're asking God to give you the peace that you need to receive all the blessings that he has. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. The line is open. Go ahead.
I found out I waited a long time. So you know what? I'm not rushing into it. Mm-mm. Nope.
Don't rush, you know, just make sure you know for sure, and you know you've waited, but you know only God can tell you when it's time, and you will know, your heart will know, your mind will know, your spirit will know. The light, ask God to shine light to choose. I remember with my husband, I said to God, I don't want someone to feel like you are my father. You're also his father. You will give me your bless and your blessing. So I want you to be the one to select for me. Make it plain. Make it clear. I remember Apostle always say that. Make it plain. Make it clear. Make it simple. Ask God to make it plain and make it clear. And at the same time, we also have to test, you know, in receiving a husband, receiving a wife, me who have been waited for so long, you know, for me, I waited for almost 5 years. I don't know how long you've been waiting, but, you know, can I, Father God, transition and be happy without being judgmental, without being stuck in my ways, to receive another person and live in that same environment with them? And when God answered my, I received my answer, and it was yes. So we also want to be able to see if we could share our hearts and share our environment with others and live in that joyous moment in God. That person has to be in God, has to love God. And my suggestion was always, God, allow my husband, allow whoever it is that you're bringing to me to love you first and be in love with you. Because if they are in love with you, then they will know how to love me. And God gave the answer. So I thank God for you, and I thank God for all that he will give unto you again. Amen.
Sometimes we have a purpose with the situations mm-hmm. that we find ourselves in. And so my thing is to fulfill the purpose, but it may not be the destiny, and it could be the destiny, but mm-hmm. Working on the godly purpose, pleasing God in the situation. Yes. But I have been getting declarations mm-hmm. about what the Lord is doing, and I'm not sure this is my husband, but mm-hmm. right now I don't see it, but there is a purpose.
And you'll know what, and it's true, you know, we all have that. That is so true with that purpose, you know. That one person might bring some awakening to you, but you know they're not the one for you. And as well, you know, because our husbands and our wives are all helpers. So that your helper that God will send to you, you will be a helper to him. He will be a helper to you in fulfilling what God has brought you here for on both ends. So we're grateful again. And just follow the Lord, and that's it. Follow the Lord, and we will never go wrong. Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing. It was powerful. I was blessed by your encouraging words and all that you shared. And again, we thank God for your life. Amen. We love you. Apostle, and or anyone else that is on the line that would like to add, share, give a word, a testimony, a word of encouragement, please do so at the moment. If not, Apostle, I will put the line to you, and you can let us know how to proceed.
Yeah, you can go ahead and close out. I'm still working on this job. Thank you for sharing a minute. Evangelist, thank you for that sound. That was a very strong anointed sound. I was listening, but I couldn't break my silence because I'm working and there's a lot of noise going on. So, but thank you. That was a very blessed sound. I mean, it just took me to another place in him. Mm-hmm. You know, I like our worship, and I did that. But you can go ahead and pray out, close out. Remember to pray for Apostle pray for Apostle Washington, pray for her daughter, pray for Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. Keep them up in prayer. Yeah, I would be in Louisiana around the 24th of July. I'm going before the 24th because I want to spend some time there.
Amen.
So just keep things in prayer. God is doing a lot of things, so I need your help because God has given us an assignment. And I'm going to need everybody to pray. Pray for God to bless you so you can help with this assignment. We want to build a church in Africa, okay? It's the assignment the Lord gave us to build a church mm-hmm. in Africa that was going to make the difference. The Lord gave it to me yesterday, and I shared it. I'm not going to be the owner of the church, God's church. Everything that I do is for God. You know, my name is not going to be on the building or any of that stuff. But I have people now right now looking for land. And they told me they know where some land that the price is good. And we're going to get good. Listen to what I might go there to do the air conditioning and stuff like that, heat system and stuff like that. I'll go and do that myself. I'm not going to pay for that. But this is what we want to do. The Lord gave us that yesterday. And it really blessed my heart. I mean, I was so messed up when I heard it in the spirit. You know, the Lord said, because I know that when you set up a house, this is what he told me yesterday. He says, I know that you're going to, whoever you put in position to watch over the house while you're in America or wherever you are, they're going to preach the whole truth. And he said, because it's what he told me yesterday. He said, because a lot of the leaders now are into witchcraft. And he says, they're using my name, but they're not preaching the truth. They're preaching half-truth. That's what the Lord told me yesterday. And I feared it. And, you know, and this is why the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 8 or 9, that God gives his servant instruction. And I believe it was an angel. There were six of them. And then there was a seventh one that he sent into the city. And he said, go into the city and put a mark on my servants that's in the city. He says that then he wanted to destroy the whole city, the rest of the city. This is not Sodom and Gomorrah, but we're just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And what was going on in the church, it's in the book of Ezekiel. Don't take my word for it. Go and check it for yourself. I preached on it last week or week before. And a lot of times we don't want to hear that God is this kind of God. We think that God is just a God that lights candles and comes with red roses or pink roses.
But all he's right,
a God.
All right.
You know, a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, right. Daughter? You understand what I'm saying, daughter? You got it. Sometimes folks think that God is just a God that comes with pink roses and red roses, and he brings the wine and stuff and have a party. No, God is a God of wrath. He's a God of vengeance.
That's right.
He's a God of vengeance. He told his servant, he said, look, I want to go into the city and mark the people that are living. Glorify my name. He says, and the ones that not glorify my name, he says, I want you to kill all them. He says, start with the old people first and the babies. Everybody, to kill everybody. And then he says, he said, but before you kill them, this thing messed me up, Evangelist. When I was teaching on that a couple of weeks ago, it really messed me up. And God says, he told his servant, he said, look, he told the man in white linen, go over and read for yourself. It'll bless you. He told me, he said, go back into my sanctuary. Go into my sanctuary first. He said, start in my sanctuary first. Mess me up. Because if you tell somebody that, they would say that you were this and you were that against the church. But God says, start in my sanctuary first, because they have destroyed my sanctuary and make my sanctuary become a detestable thing. In other words, abomination. And I'm just quoting out of my spirit because I don't have my Bible with me, but that's what God said. He said, I, the Lord, declare that my house, my sanctuary, become a detestable thing before my eyes. You hear what God say? God say that. Not the preacher. Not the preacher. Not your favorite preacher. Not your favorite apostle. Not your favorite evangelist. God say so.
That's right.
He told a servant, he said, go in. He said, start in my sanctuary first. In other words, start killing in my sanctuary first.
Thank you, Jesus.
You hear what I'm telling you?
That's Ezekiel 5:11, Dad.
Yeah, it's also in chapter 8 and chapter 9.
Yes, sir.
And 7 too. It's right through them books. Right down to chapter 11 and 12.
Whole 7 through 9.
That's right. And I'm telling you something. When you see it, it blesses you. Because what it tells you is it convicts your heart. I don't want to be like that, Lord. I want to be the real deal.
That's right.
I don't want to be no counterfeit.
That's right.
I want to be the real deal.
Thank you, Lord.
To be the real deal, you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision that you're going to live for Christ. You got to make a decision that you're going to live for Christ. Because the way we live now, the way the world is, everything, listen to me, I'm going to use a spiritual word. Everything is ordained to distract you and even destroy you, delay you. and even destroy you. Everything in the world is set up that way to distract you, delay you, and even destroy you. And we have to make a choice. God is not making a choice for you. He's not making a choice for me. We got to make a choice to live for God. You know, folks still think that they can go to church. Well, we are the church, but they call the building church. They still think they can go to church, and they can get drunk. They can still have fornication. They can still commit adultery. They can still steal. They can still cuss. They can still smoke and get high. They still think they can do that. They can still shoot heroin, and they think that they say they're going to heaven. But I got news for you. You're not going to heaven. You're not going to heaven if you're still doing these things. Because he said,
that's
without
right.
holiness. That's what he said. He said, without holiness, no man will see me. But guess what? You got to look at it again. Because every man going to see God. Because a lot of people say, well, I ain't going to see God if he never does. No, you're going to still see him. But you're going to see him as a judge. You're going to see him as a judge. That's why I said you got a choice. You can see him as a judge or see him as a king. Do you hear me? You can see him as a judge or you can see him as a king. It's your choice.
Your choice.
Our choice to see him as a king. When he see you see him as a king, what he do? He calling his royal sons and royal daughters in. If you see him as a judge, he's casting you to hell. But that's what I'm saying. It's in the book of Revelation. You can see him as a king or see him as a judge. So, and to see him as a king, you got to live as a king's child. You got to live as the king's son or daughter. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
It's a difference. It's a difference. You know, everybody say you Amen. You hear all these people saying, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Well, if you look at their lifestyle, what did their lifestyle tell you? Did their lifestyle tell you that they're going to heaven? Something to think about. Or anybody can preach and say, well, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'll tell you, I'm going to heaven. But Jesus said you would know them by their fruit. You know them by their fruit. You know the ones that belongs to him. That's what he's saying. You'll know the one that belongs to him by the fruit they bear. Are they living holy? That's why you got to watch them. Watch the preachers. Watch the preachers. Watch them. Watch them. They're saying a lot of stuff. Ezekiel, John said it. They come to him. Jesus said, he said, they come to me with all their fancy apparel, but their hearts were far from me. Isn't that what he says? They were dressed up in fancy robes. Who do you think he's talking to?
Right. That's right.
You think he's talking to demons? He's not talking to demons. He's talking to preachers. The ones that they don't want us to talk about. And what he told Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, go down there. And you begin to rebuke all of those prophets, all those pastors. He said, God, they eat all the meat of my sheep. Give my sheep the leftovers. We don't want to preach them with themselves. God, we think God is a loving God. He's a kind God. But when it comes for God to be angry, didn't he say vengeance is mine? Didn't he say love is mine? He's a loving God, but he got some vengeance too. He said vengeance is mine, said the Lord. That's what he says. But we want to paint a picture of him. Oh, God is so loving. He's so kind. Oh, he's not going to do nothing. But let me tell you, if he don't do right, you'll be amazed when you see him. You don't want to be in the presence of an angry God. I'm telling you something. You don't want to be in the presence of an angry God. You see, there was time when Israel acted a fool. What did he do with Israel? The one that he loved, he said, I love Israel. Israel was my firstborn. And what did he do? He sent him in captivity. And let thousands of them get killed because of their disobedience. God, the God that loved them, he called them his firstborn. It's in the Bible. He called them his firstborn. That means the first ones that he chose. And then when they become disobedient and worshiping other gods, what did he do? Mm-hmm. He turned them over. That's the Bible. You read the scripture this morning. He let them go to be a reprobate mind. To a reprobate mind, they wouldn't even worth saving. That's what reprobate mind really means. They don't even worth saving because they're worshiping false gods.
That's right. They don't have that mind anymore.
No, they do. People think of the game. And God tell you, no, you don't even worth saving because you give yourself completely to idols.
That's right. That's why he said there's no excuse. You know.
I just see the play with such an anointed song, man. I'm telling you, that was such an anointed song. I tell you, Lord, we said, God, I was just bathing in that song. Beautiful song. But you know, I'm telling you something. You got to pay attention. Pay attention to the worshipers. Because Satan is even using the worship. Satan is even, listen to me.
So true, Lord Jesus.
Satan is even using the worshipers, okay, to contaminate the worship. You hear what I'm saying?
That's right.
I'm just going to mess you all up. Just going to mess you all up because you are so holy. He's going to mess you all up. He's even using the worshipers to contaminate the worshipers. I saw one worshiper that's going all over the United States, or even all over the world, and singing worship music. He's a man. You know, I'm not going to call his name. And he got lipstick on his mouth and wearing a dress. You saw him? You saw him?
What?
He was at the... You know him, too. You know him good. He was at the Emmys and had a dress on. It's no joke. I listen to him. If I call him, you'll know. And know they blow him up on YouTube. On YouTube. Because God would expose you. God would expose you. Because God is not going to let God is not going to let them continue fooling the people. He's not going to let them continue fooling the people. Proclaiming to something that they're not. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. I mean, you got to study the Bible. He's not going to do that. When you read that book of Ezekiel, and then a book to read is Amos, Ezra. These are powerful prophets. Read that book. These are powerful books to show you what God has required of his people. They want to get a Holy Ghost message talking with you. You can name it and claim it. And if you just believe, you can receive. That's all good and well. But Jesus says, if you love him, you'll walk right before him. You're walking right before him. And he said, then he said, and no good thing will I withhold from you. That's what he said.
No good thing.
Well, that's what he said.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's the word. That's the word.
Make up in my mind. You can walk before him. I make up in my mind. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody going to turn me loose. Ain't nobody going to turn me loose. I'm going all the way to Christ. All the way. Because he brought me from a place that nobody could bring me from. Not the president, not the vice president, not the Congress, not the senators, not the Supreme Court justice. Nobody could bring me from where he brought me from. He brought me out of hell. Out of hell, Minister Batmos. He brought me out of hell. And I am grateful. And anyone that I can help out of hell, I'll be your hand.
And stay out of there. And stay out.
Amen.
Also,
count things you have said that come at times to me because of the enemy being so tricky and working through people, and they don't even know that the enemy is using them. They I say I must be about to cross over a threshold because of all this stuff coming at me. And we all are because we're in the end, you know. And I do remember those things you say and take heed to the things you are saying as a warning. My pastor used to preach, equal to his love is his wrath. But that's on the big screen, big level, you know, the worldwide stage and the you know, catastrophes and things. But what about our personal life? That's the battle right there. And he's got me in Deuteronomy, and I got a confirmation that's where I'm to stay because I just read it. Brought you through the wilderness to test you, to see what was in your heart, you know, to try you. And so that's the time where we can get it together or work, you know, like grab hold of God to pull us out of anything that would try to pull us back, you know, and take us in the right direction.
Well, you know, woman of God, as long as you're alive and serving God, you're gonna have. Let me say we. As long as we are alive and serving God, we're gonna have wilderness experience. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're alive, as long as we're alive, you're gonna have wilderness experience. The wilderness experience is to get us stronger. That's where the wilderness experience comes from, to get us stronger. Because we are not there yet, none of us. None of us are there yet. But as we are going through, the wilderness experience strengthens you. Because there are battles that are going to come that you can't deal with unless you have some wilderness experience, you know. There's a lot of things that I face in ministry as a preacher, okay? As a preacher, it's a lot that I face. Even a couple of days ago, I was on the line, and a pastor was preaching, and I was coming over to this job to do some work, because it's a lot of work I'm doing here by myself. I have a guy that I bring in on Sunday, because he's a Hebrew. So he stopped going to church on our Sunday. He only go to church on Saturday, you know. So he come over here on Sunday and help me. And I was coming in. He drive his car, I drive my car. And this lady, I might have seen the car killing, but the lady, she in the left lane. I'm in the right lane. You on the Route 93. You know that's a highway that people move pretty quick. And that lady had just the car space. She knows she wants to go take the right exit. She knows that. She just decided that just now, that moment. And that woman cut me off so short. I said, Lord, I thank you. You understand? I said, Lord, I thank you. Because she couldn't wreck me, and who knows? One of us could have died. And I said, okay. Before, Minister Butler, I'd be running her down. You know what I'm saying? But I went through that wilderness. I went through that wilderness already. See?
Mm-hmm.
I faced that wilderness already. Because once you face it don't have no effect over you. It really don't have no effect. Right. The little effect that come don't even move you. So, but you're going to have another wilderness experience. You see?
Yeah.
So you can look back and say, well, you know, I dealt with something like that before. So this is another one I can deal with. This is where you have to have wilderness experience. You're not going to be saved and say, well, I'm preaching now, so everything is running okie-dokie. No. No, a woman don't need for you here. A woman don't need for you here. He will call you home. He will call you home. And then you had to watch, Lord, my God, I hear. Let me tell you some preaching now. Then you got to watch the folk in the church building. You understand? Because, listen, let's go mess you all up. A lot of the wilderness experience comes from the people in the body of Christ. I know you don't want to
but
hear that.
But I'm also looking at right here, when they were in the wilderness, you know, wilderness experience will either break you or, like you said, make you. But we have to trust
right.
in God. It's those who
That's
didn't
right.
trust.
Yes. It's to shape you. It's to shape you. That wilderness is to shape you. The ones that don't take the shaping, they'll die in the wilderness. They'll die in the wilderness. Do you hear what I'm saying? And they'll give into the stuff and die in the wilderness. But when you take the testing, you will come out the wilderness, and guess what happened after you come out the wilderness? I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you. After you come out the wilderness, you'll be a candidate fit for the promised land. Can you hear me? You'll be a candidate fit for the. But if you can't handle the wilderness, you're not going to make it in the promised land. You're not going to make it. Now, if you don't mean, look at Moses. God loved Moses. If you don't, I'm giving you scripture. I'll give you scripture. Look at it. Look at Moses. He couldn't handle his wilderness experience. Because the people was acting up.
That's right.
He allowed the people to take him to another dimension.
That's
right. In his walk with God. You see what I'm saying? And what did God do? God said, look, I'm going to let you see this thing. because you were paying attention to the people instead of paying attention to me. You see what I'm saying? I'm training you. Even in the wilderness, I am training you in the wilderness, but you begin to pay attention to the people instead of paying attention to me.
Wow.
And for that cause, Moses, you know I love you. I love you so much that I'm not even going to let another honor take or bury you. I'm going to bury you myself.
That's right.
Do you hear me? God buried Moses. Moses didn't get to go in the promised land because people, listen. People will hinder your blessing.
Yes,
they will hinder you. They will hinder you from receiving your blessing because you pay more attention to them than you pay to God.
That's right.
More attention. When I get a word from God,
yes, Lord.
As much as I love my wife, when I get a word from God, she can't change it. She can't change it. She can't change it. You know what I'm saying? As much as I love her. Because, see, I got to that place that I recognize that he's the only one that has. He has the ultimate authority over hell. And have enough. You know something? I'm going to mess you all up now. Because I love the ministers, the preachers. You know that even the devil don't have the ultimate authority over hell? You know he don't have it?
That's right. That's right.
You know that?
That's right.
He don't have the ultimate authority over hell.
He does not.
Only Jesus does.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to spend time with him. Let me tell you something. Because we are family, I'm on a 21-day fast, I can tell you that. And the moment I went on the fast, my wife come home. She had donuts. She has bagels, fried chicken. All the things that I like. You know, I said that to her. Then my granddaughter went to a place and she bought this teriyaki chicken and rice. In the midday, not even supper time. What was that? You talking about the enemy would bring the people that are close to you. Okay?
That's right.
The folk that you love. And if you become blind, you'll miss it.
Yeah.
You'll miss it. Because you say, well, she's doing a good thing. She wants you to have something to eat. He's doing a good thing. He wants you to have some barbecue chicken. He wants you to have some. He's doing a good thing. He's cooking. My husband is cooking. My wife is cooking. But you miss the whole picture. Because the enemy knows that when you fast and put that flesh on the subjection, you're going to receive new, fresh revelation. You see what I'm saying? And you're not going to use no word from outside because you're going to say, he will tell your sister in church, girl, I can't eat, I'm fasting. You know what I'm saying? But the wife brought that stuff in the house. He said, I don't want to disappoint my wife because she went through the trouble of getting that for me. So I'm going to eat some. Devil is a liar. I ain't even tell her I was fasting.
And then they ask, why aren't you eating?
No, I ain't even telling her. Yesterday she noticed something. She said we had to go over. We said we was going to go over because they're going over Sunday early in the day. So me, her, and somebody went over to my mother-in-law house, and they bought peas and stuff and carried it over there because she loved peas. She loved the onions, green peppers. She loved green peppers, onions and green peppers. So she said she wanted to come over early in the day. So but my wife, she picked up on something. She said, I realize you're not eating till late in the day. So we're not going to go over there early. I ain't telling her.
Amen.
She wants me to go. She wanted me to go. I said, oh, I'll go over there. So we went over there late yesterday evening, and we had pizza. Because you can't, mm-hmm. you can't let, I don't care who it is, break you when you serving your daddy. Your
That's
ultimate
right.
purpose or plan is to serve him. No matter what's going on, you got to serve him. You understand? And the enemy don't want you to serve him. Mm. You understand? And the enemy going to bring everything that that old flesh likes. Everything that that flesh likes to stop you. To stop you from meeting your the needs of the Spirit. I tell you what I know.
No, you.
I'm telling you, I'm getting some revelation right now from the Lord that is just blessing the body of Christ. You know.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Because I'm in there with Him. I'm not all of that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, but I'm sticking to Him. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I have not arrived, but I'm spending time with Him. And he opening doors. He opening doors. Now, once things are break, we're going to take a team to Africa. We're going to have the money. We're going to have the money. And we're going to take a team to India. See, because things going to break. And let me tell you something. God is using this stuff, this very pandemic, to read up some stuff. You can believe it or not. He's using it. To read up some stuff. If you don't, we go back and look at the 10 plagues in Egypt. Some of the Israelites died because they didn't believe. The ones that believed went in and put the blood on the door. Okay? The ones that didn't believe went outside and they died. They cried to get inside, but they couldn't get inside. I'm thanking God for you all. So somebody can go pray and close us out. And I'm going to try to get some more work done here. I got one, the board is done now. Somebody just pray and close us out.
Amen. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for this very filling Saturday and the filling words, Father God, that was released into all of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we're thanking you, Father God, because each day you open our eyes, you open our spirits to learn and do more. Father God, continue to draw us nearer unto you, Father God. Continue to strengthen us in our spirits, in our minds, and in our hearts, to walk upright and righteous in your sight in the mighty name of Jesus, to keep our hearts clean, Father God, our thoughts pure in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes,
Father God,
Lord.
To be encouragers and uplifters unto others, one another, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, that we will continue, Father God, to shine your light before others, dear Lord,
yes,
to speak
Lord, yes.
of your grace, to speak of your mercy, to speak of your love, to speak of your forgiveness, Father God, because none of us
Thank
would be
you,
here
Jesus.
If you did not pray for us, if you did not intercede for us, if you did not die for us in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes,
so, Father
Jesus.
God, we give you the glory, Father God. We continue to seek you, Father God. We continue to seek you earnestly, Father God, in our spirits and in our hearts. We seek you, Father God, in every aspect of our life, in the mighty name of Jesus, to do your will. Father God, we know that you are everywhere. You have not left us. You have not forsaken us. You have not abandoned us. You keep calling because you want us with you, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, because your love is great for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I'm asking you to call each and every one of us that are on the line today. For those who are not on the line, Father God, we ask you to bless them and continue to encourage them. We ask you, dear Lord, to uplift Pastor Washington and her daughter, whatever situation is going on, dear Lord. We know that you are with them. We know that you have strengthened them. We know that you have healed them. We know that you have delivered them in the mighty name
yes,
of Jesus.
Lord.
We know, Father God, that the enemy have not won over them because they are yours in the mighty name of Jesus. We're also praying for Apostle Grant, dear Lord, for whatever she is encountering, whatever her family is encountering in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will be with them. You will be before them. You will be that barrier, Father God. We're thanking you, Father God, for the boundaries, Father God, that you have placed before us, dear Lord, to keep the enemies out. Father God, we're We're thanking you for the bondages that you have brought us through, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we have not died, but we will continue to live in you and through you in the mighty name of Jesus. We're thanking you for Apostle Calendar, for the visions, Father God, that you have given him. Father God, as he goes forth, Father God, to continue all of us, dear Lord, in the various ways, dear Lord, to help to build this church in the mighty name of Jesus. Allow this church, Father God, this project, Father God, that is yours, to be a church, Father God, that is teaching and living, Father God, that will teach us, dear Lord, teach everyone to live for you, Father God, and will be able to serve you, Father God, in spirit and in truth, wholeheartedly, to continue to equip everyone, dear Lord, that is there, that will be a part of that church, to be servants of you wholeheartedly in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, continue to open up the doors of access for us, dear Lord. Continue to close the door, Father God, that will not lead to anywhere. Continue to uproot seeds, dear Lord, that will not bring good fruit in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we're thanking you for each and every one of our families. We're thanking you for the mothers, Father God, the aunts, dear Lord. Dear Lord, everyone that has played a motherly figure to someone, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, spiritually and naturally, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you, dear Lord, to keep continuing to equip us, Father God. Father God, remove every thorn, remove every brush, remove every hurt, remove every sorrow from in our hearts, from within our minds, dear Lord, from within our wounds, dear Lord, that we will continue, Father God, to birth forth joy, love, peace, Father God, harmony, that we will continue to live for you in spirit and in truth, dear Lord, and we will continue to do your will. Father God, we thank you for Evangelist Campbell and her entire family. Continue to bless her home. Father God, bless her job. Bless her relationships, dear Lord, and everything that she has spoken to you in silence, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for Evangelist Sheila, dear Lord, that you will continue to guide her, Father God, and continue to bless her and keep her, Father God. Continue to speak to her and open up her eyes and ears, dear Lord, to continue to run and serve you. Father God, we're living for you, Father God, and we're joyful for all that you have done. We give you glory, give you honor. We give you praise, Father God. We exalt you. We lift up our hands to you, and we bow down to only you in the mighty name of Jesus. Victory is yours, Father God, and we're grateful to have you, who's our victor. Father God, we thank you, we honor you, and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Apostle?
Amen.
Any final words?
God bless you. Thank you so much for that awesome, mighty prayer. We will talk to you all soon. We'll see you all. If you go on Deacon Fraser tonight, we'll be there. He's on the line, but he's busy. We'll talk to you all later, okay? God bless you all.
Amen. God
and
bless
you. Keep doing what you're doing for the kingdom.
And this person is paying you. I heard that, I think a week ago, this person is paying you. Amen. They won't sip it. Pay attention.
Yeah, this is a lot of work. You know, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't that. This is a lot of work. You saw the pictures on Facebook. I post what I was doing.
Yes.
Each of these is two units in one. They're called combis. Oh. They are boilers and water heater in one. So they're four units, you know, two each one. So I got one that looks like pretty, look real good. I'm happy with that. And I'm started working on finishing up on the other one, then I got to run all the other lines, branch lines. But it's good. This is my gift to the Lord, one of the gifts that the Lord gave me, because he gave me many gifts. But thank God for you all. You are another gift that the Lord gave to me, every one of you. You know, and I'm
Amen.
A gift to you. We're a gift
Amen.
To each other. So thank you all so much. I'll talk to you all later. God bless. Have a blessed evening. Safe evening. Okay? All right.
God bless you all.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
God bless.
Blessed weekend.
Bless you all.
Amen.
God bless you all. I love you.
Those who are here too. Amen. Today.